Welcome to the CX Goalkeeper Podcast, where we unlock the winning edge through conversations with industry experts and thought leaders. Each episode explores how transforming business through human experience creates real impact. Join us for actionable insights and fresh perspectives that inspire success. Follow, rate, and review the podcast on your favorite platform. The next episode could spark your next big idea.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the CX Goalkeeper Podcast. Today with Irina Hollatz. Hi, Irina. How are you?
I am perfect. Thank you so much for having me.
It's my pleasure, and I am super keen to kick off the discussion because we are going to discuss about workforce management in the digital age. But before we deep dive into this topic, Irina, could you please introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Irina, and I've been in the workforce management area for a long time. I can't recall how many years, but I started my journey in a contact center by accident, and it evolved from all sorts of different roles and functions. And now, currently, for the last year and a half, I have my own consulting company about workforce management, and I'm so happy to have that discussion with you, Greg.
Thank you very much. But I know also that you are a fellow podcaster, and therefore, perhaps could you share also something about your podcast?
Yes, I forgot about that. Yes, since the summer, I started off my own podcast. It's called WFM Unfiltered. And in this podcast, we're kind of saying stuff as they are. We might be cursing a little bit more than in other podcast, so we're not keeping it PG-13, but you know what? I wanted to make it, let's say, stuff that we're saying in the kitchen, behind the scenes, and you can find it on YouTube or wherever you're listening to your podcast.
And now we know that you're not only a great expert in workforce management, but you are also great in sales, because the best salespeople are not selling their products, because people come to them. And that's what you did with your podcast. And I also suggest to the audience to check Irina's podcast. You will find all the information also in the show notes.
Oh, thank you so much for that. Nobody ever called me that I'm good in sales. Thank you. I'll take that.
And now let's see what will happen with the next question. Which values drive your professional career?
Which values? I would say, I don't want to sound boring, but for me, it's very important to be honest and to have integrity. And you know what? I've been through so many situations at work, in my personal life, when very small things can make such a major difference to someone's life. So let us be a little bit more honest, empathetic. Empathy is something that I'm very high on. You need to, or at least in my opinion, it's always best to try to put yourself in the shoes of someone else to see why are they reacting in a certain way, or you know what, life is short. How can we make someone's day better? So I would go for these ones.
Oh, how we can make somebody's days better. It's really a great start. And I am quite sure you are now doing a great 30 minutes discussion for the audience about workforce management in the digital age. And people will learn a lot. Let's kick off the discussion and let's start this game. How does effective workforce management impact customer satisfaction and operational success in contact centers?
It's very interesting that you're asking me this. So thank you for that question. I literally got off another conversation about it. And I always say we cannot talk about customer experience and about employee experience and customer satisfaction if there are no people that can support you from brand or product or company perspective. So I look at workforce management as the front door to customer experience. So if I ask you, you got the newest, I'm not going to mention a brand phone, and you're super happy and you paid, I don't know, thousands of euros for it. And there is some issue. So you're going to the store because you want to check something and there's no one. You enter and there's no one. Somebody comes, they can't help you. They don't want to help you. Nobody's working. How would you feel about that? Would you still be happy with your phone that you paid thousands of euros? Or you'll be like, you know, the service is kind of shit. Sorry about that. I didn't ask whether I can curse on the podcast. But
it's good.
Or you would be, you know what? the service is terrible. I cannot find any support. I'm starting to resent the brand just because this is my experience. I cannot find the support that I'm getting. So that's how I look at workforce management.
I think that makes totally sense. And you said the front door. I hear often also the business card, because you are representing yourself. It's a contact center. It's in the digital age. We're calling someone, or you are going into a shop, and you need to find people. And there, I'm really keen to ask the question, because I worked in a contact center. It means I had an idea how it works and how complex all this is. And now I'm working in a hospital where the workforce management works, but it's done manually. What's the best way to integrate AI and predictive analytics into WFM while preserving the human elements?
I mean, are you trying to set me up with this question, first of all? Because I am ranting a lot about AI. And you know what? Automation and AI has been in the workforce management area for a long time. It's not something new. I know that a lot of companies are trying to sell it as the new thing that's out there to cut the costs and to save everyone's day. No, I'm sorry. Shut up. It's been there for a long time. And automation is something that's very powerful in workforce management because it cuts the waste from stuff that you shouldn't be bothered about. What you should be really bothered about is analyzing, okay, how can I make our employees' performance better? How can I analyze the trends to meet customers better, faster? How can we be more efficient? Where are our gaps? How can I add value? So these are the places where you can potentially introduce AI and automation and see, okay, we have so much data. How can we compute it in a faster way so we can analyze it and provide those that added value and insights to the business?
I think what you're saying, it's really interesting. And basically, I think we need to speak about technology, because in the background of the contact center, while agents are using a lot of different systems, they need to be there at the right point in time to answer these questions. And for purpose, or for the audience, I mentioned artificial intelligence only for SEO purpose, and because then the search engines will find out this podcast. However, I think that's the really interesting thing. Before perhaps also discussing about artificial intelligence and so on, how are you helping your customers, ensuring that the right people, the right customer service people, or the right representative are there at the right point in time, at the right place, and?
I actually start by something that is very simple, and I know that it's something that's often ignored in a lot of places, but my starting point is always, walk me through your tasks, walk me through your process, show me what you're doing, tell me why are you doing it, because I want to understand what's driving you, why are you making certain decisions? And in 98% of the time, the question that I get, and I'm sure everyone resents, is, I have no idea, we've always done it this way. So I just kind of took it over from someone else and I continue doing it the same way. And those are legacy ways of working that doesn't make any sense. So there are stuff that you can potentially do very quickly to kind of have wins already without having to spend, I don't know, thousands of euros for new systems or new stuff. You can just make those small changes. But I'm always starting by auditing, okay, show me what you're doing, and then explaining tips and tricks, or starting to educating my customers mostly on the processes. And I always say, before we talk about technology, please let's have processes in place, because even tech is operating on the back of a sequence of processes. So that's what I'm mostly concerned about. And after that, if we want to explore some opportunities for how technology can help you, what is the right technology and what can it bring you, then it's already an entirely different conversation. But I always say processes before everything else.
Thank you for preparing the next question, because you spoke about processes, we spoke about technology, And now it's about people. People need to be there. And basically, we see an advantage of people working from home remotely and so on. And it helps us also contact centers, all this shop to have enough people. How has workforce management evolved to address this challenge of hybrid work and remote teams in contact centers?
Wow, that's a tricky one. Well, depending on whether we're talking about workforce management from automation and tool perspective or from a manual, like doing our schedules in Excel and just monitoring our agents in whatever system they're logged in, I would say that the change is a little bit more psychological, because prior COVID, we've been always thinking there's no way, absolutely no freaking way that we can operate if we don't have our eyes on our employees and we don't see them and exactly every single second what they're doing. Then we were forced into a situation where we had to, otherwise we don't have a business, right? And we saw that, oh, you know what? Actually, there is a way forward. So I think it made it easier to shift that kind of a very old-fashioned perspective of you need to be in front of me to make sure that you're working, which is the positive part. I would say an unpopular opinion that I'm sure I'm going to get a lot of hate about is, for me, there are two negative parts about at least completely remote working. And this is the fact that there is a different type of bond when you're on site. If you need support, if you need to connect with someone, it's much different when you're working together as a team rather than when you are, I don't know, corresponding via chat or you never see each other's face. The other thing, and I'm sorry, we cannot ignore it. There is something called internet issues, noisy neighbors, stuff that are in the way when you're performing your work from home. Not everyone has a perfect internet bandwidth and no neighbors around. So stuff are going in the way of your usual performance. And this affects the business. So I would say that there are pros and cons, but there is stuff that we can definitely learn to maybe work around and just explore different hybrid ways of working.
Nobody will eat what you are saying, because we are always thinking about what you share with us. Not everybody is saying that, but we need some time together. I think it's not anymore the complete week together in the office, but we need to create this bond. We need to create this human relationship with our peers, colleagues, managers, leaders, in order to be together and creating something like, name that, like a community that work together and has a clear view on what to achieve. However, deep diving into this topic, as you said, working in the office, working remotely, there is different way. But customers are asking and requesting from companies everything 24/7. I was also complaining about something a few days ago, and I found out I was writing a complaint at 11 o'clock in the evening and was expecting an answer from the company on the other side, where I was thinking, okay, but perhaps it's not office time and that they are not going to answer to my email. And basically, the customer expectations are increasing dramatically. They want to have now the answer to the questions. And how can you handle, and how can contact center, for example, handle all these requests and ensure to have enough people at the right point in time?
Well, it's a great question, a rather complex one. And I would say it always comes down to cost as well, because if you would like to secure that there is someone immediately at any point of the day, then it's a different conversation. You need to explore, okay, are we dealing with the partners, outsourcers? The cost for production is going to go up because you need to pay that personnel from somewhere. So this is the conversation that would start from business strategy perspective. This is also the way that we're starting to work out the operational hours. Okay, are we working from 9 to 5 or are we working 24/7? And to be honest, if there is a one-off complaint, I know that for you in that specific moment of time, you don't care about anyone else. But from a business perspective, if they see one customer complaining every 6 months, the cost is not justified. So this is always the internal analysis that needs to be made. And to be absolutely honest, even I'm always putting myself from customer perspective. If I have an issue and I complain and I write the most straightforward, blunt, angry email that I am capable of, and on the next day somebody calls me and handles me with empathy and gives me the right answer, I wouldn't care that I have waited a bit. Now, if you phone me up and you're starting to give me that, and if you weren't working and start nagging at me, then I'm going to get you. So I would say that even if you can't secure people 24/7 for different reasons, always train your people to basically address the question or the challenge to the customer with empathy, and it will work out. At least 90% of the time, I'm sure it will work out.
I agree with you. And I was in that case, I was not a premium customer, and therefore I'm quite sure that it doesn't make sense to answer to my email real time or something like that. And in addition, from a psychological point of view, if they contact me 1 or 2 days later, I can calm down, and then the discussion will be much more smooth. I know that we are recording shortly after Black Friday, and I know that we are publishing this episode later, but in preparation for next year, Black Friday, there are also these seasonalities for shops where they have in one period of time a lot of requests, a lot of orders, and so on. How do you advise your customer to handle these peaks?
Well, you're always making that analysis. You see what's the impact in your volumes, whether this is email, chat, phone, whatever channels you're working on from the previous years. And you're making adjustments to your schedules and to your forecasts. And you know how well you should be prepared. And the reality is that you can be as best prepared as many people you have in place. So you can always decide, okay, we're blocking the schedules and we're not allowing vacations in this period, or you're asking for overtime if the company policy allows that. So there are a lot of ways that you can introduce flexibility for this time when you can secure extra hours to handle the customer inflow of interactions. But you are always referring back to the past and saying, okay, and usually on the day of or right after or right before, we're seeing an influx of 50% of more interactions. What can we do to be as best covered as possible?
Thank you very much. And now, as you said, there are a lot of decisions that need to be taken, and it means leaders need to decide what they are offering to their customer and how they are offering that to their customer. What are, from your point of view, for example, the 3 top priorities for leaders to transform workforce management in contact centers?
From leaders from the perspective of workforce management leaders or the leaders of the contact center?
Then we have now 2 questions. Let's start with the leaders of the contact center and then we go into the workforce management.
So what are the top 3 qualities or?
The top 3 priorities.
Priorities, sorry. The top priority for me from a contact center manager perspective is maybe to focus a little bit more on the analysis coming out of and give the opportunity for people that are workforce management managers or leaders or directors to listen to their input and then take it on board when you're deciding on budgets. So for me, one of the major mistakes is when we're doing that cost analysis, we're looking at numbers without understanding the story behind the numbers. So my priority is always explain the story coming out from my position as a workforce management, explain the story, but also get the story on board. This is number one. The number two is actually invest in your people, because the people is what's going to give value to your business. Don't invest into AI technology if you don't put your people first, if you don't put your processes first. This is where you need to start. You can go somewhere after if this is your strategy, but this should be your foundation. And top three would be then the follow-up. Once you have done all of that, just see where you can gain efficiency, whether after you have secured your processes, you have taken care of your people, can we invest into technology? What's the return of investment of that technology? Where are we now? Where we want to go next? But have that strategy in mind.
Thank you very much. And now we are coming to an end of this discussion, but I still have three questions for you. The first one is about the future. Fast forwards, in 10 years from now, we are back on the CX Goalkeeper podcast. What we're discussing about?
I am absolutely certain that we'll be discussing AI, and probably we'll be discussing AI from a customer perspective. So how can the company robots or AI can interact with the customer AI? So I'm absolutely certain that we're going to be making that collaboration. That's going to be my to go.
Irina, that's the big topic that we are discussing, and we discussed also on the CX Goalkeeper podcast several times, machine customers. That will be really interesting to see how they... But now, if somebody has a question in relation to workforce management or in relation to your podcast, what's the best way to contact you?
The best way would be to find me on LinkedIn. It's Irina Matejlov-Olat, and drop me a message. You're also going to be able to see my website and the different information for the contacts and the channel for my podcast. Take it up from there. I'm always available on LinkedIn quite a lot of time. So hook me up there, send me a message.
And that's the way also how we connected first. Therefore, yeah, we know that you are responsive there. Thank you very much. And you are sharing a lot of good content. And now we're coming to the last question. Irina's golden nugget, it's something that we discussed or something new to leave to the audience with.
You know what? I'm going to go into a completely different direction. My golden nugget for my personal and professional growth was that I started doing more and doing better in my career when I stopped myself from thinking, oh, if I do that, it's going to be a mistake, or person A is going to think that, or person B is going to think that, so I better shut up and not risk it. And every day I'm getting messages from people that are saying, I want to do more, but I'm scared because what if people will think that I'm stupid? Forget that. Nobody is spending their entire day to think, oh my God, do you remember when 5 weeks ago Greg has put in that post that he mentioned that where nobody is spending their day? So do you be your most authentic self and things will start looking much better. And I genuinely believe, and you know my story, that life is too short to not do things that you want or say things that you want or to be yourself just because somebody that has no impact on your life might think otherwise.
Irina, thank you very much for these insights. That's really good, and it's really inspiring for us what you shared together with us. Irina, please stay with us. To the audience for today, it's everything. I hope that you enjoyed this discussion as much as I did. Please follow Irina and have a look, listen to podcast. And if you have any questions, feel free to contact Irina or to contact myself. Thank you very much and bye-bye. If you enjoyed this episode, please share the word of mouth. Subscribe it, share it. Until the next episode, please don't forget, we are not in a B2B or B2C business, we are in a human-to-human environment. Thank you!